I'll show you politics in America. Here it is, right here. I think the puppet on the right shares my beliefs. I think the puppet on the left is more to my liking. Hey, wait a minute. There's one guy holding up both puppets. Shut up. Go back to bed, America. Your government is in control.
Read my lips.
Just send your cash.
There has never been so many lies, so much deception.
Doesn't anyone notice this? I feel like I'm taking crazy pills.
Please clap.
It's time for the Mike Madison Show, a new breed of conservative talk. Now, here's your host, Mike Madison.
Showtime! Woo!
All right, good morning. Welcome to the Mike Madison Show here at 103.9 WYAB. I appreciate you joining me today. This is, if you've not joined me before, holidays bring in new people as you're driving about, maybe a day off work. This is a safe space for the independent thinker out there for 2 hours a day. Beholden to no party, no politician. We don't fall in love with people here. As a matter of fact, I really don't like politics at all. And we're going to get into that in just a second. Kind of interesting. Fascinated by it, angered by it, aggravated by it. I used to really be on the team. It's so funny. That's kind of how I got my start in paying attention to stuff. I was just so brainwashed. I just thought Trent Lott was just leading us to the promised land. I was so young and silly. But anyway, Joe Biden has kind of opened a can of worms, at least for me. He spoke the truth yesterday, apparently. We're going to listen to it. The clip we're going to play in just a second. I don't have a great speaker on my laptop, and so I'm not sure if it was just him being garbled and mumbled and mush-mouthed or if it was just the speaker. But we're going to find out here in just a second because I haven't played it since I got into the studio. Anyway, plenty to get to today. I may even get to a little Tech Tuesday. Apparently, the metaverse did well over the holidays. I'm going to take a look at what the metaverse is. I'm going to follow this. I'm going to be watching this. I believe we are going to start losing citizens to the metaverse. I believe this is a real thing. Well, not really. It's actually an unreal thing, and people will be leaving the real world to go to the unreal world. Right now we have non-performing players in real life, or is it NPC, non-performing characters. These non-performing characters in real life are going to go into the metaverse where I guess that's where they will perform. It's really very creepy stuff here. And I can't decide if so many times I let my, what I believe is logic, get in the way of getting involved in things like this to make money because I just know it doesn't make sense. It's not sustainable. I set out more manias just outthinking myself. I can't tell you the hundreds of thousands of dollars I left on the table by outthinking everything instead of just taking for granted. We don't have an especially smart population, by and large, or at least as a herd, we do not make intelligent choices, so I should start capitalizing on them. Anyway, we'll talk a little bit about that next hour. Quotes of the day today. Edward Snowden. You remember Edward Snowden, right? He was one of the guys, he and Julian Assange, that Donald Trump left without pardoning. Edward Snowden still trapped in Russia, exiled. He said, arguing that you don't care about the right to privacy because you have nothing to hide is no different than saying you don't care about free speech because you have nothing to say. This has been a big refrain from really a lot of the people on the conservative side. Well, I don't have anything to hide. You don't have anything to fear if you're not doing something wrong. I've heard this a lot in conservative circles over the years, particularly after the Patriot Act. And, boy, I have argued that point now for 20 years. I think people finally in the last couple of years are starting to realize, oops, maybe we should have curtailed their ability to spy on us. Maybe there wasn't a terrorist behind every tree. John Kennedy, in my opinion, our last real president. I know that ruffles some feathers, but I believe it. John Kennedy said in one of his speeches, he said, its preparations are concealed, not published. Its mistakes are buried, not headlined. Its dissenters are silenced, not praised. No expenditure is questioned. No rumor is printed. No secret is revealed. Showing you that nothing has changed. Him talking about deep state and the fight against communism back in the day, all the way up until today. Its preparations are concealed. We know exactly the preparations that went into all of the things we see now, whether they're wars or this ridiculous COVID hysteria. It says its preparations are concealed, not published. Its mistakes are buried, not headlined. More on that in a little bit. There was a question posed on Drudge Report today by Anthony Fauci, which is just the biggest duh. Its dissenters are silenced, not praised. We certainly have seen that over the past couple of years. No expenditure is questioned, as we are spending trillions and trillions of dollars on different things. Nobody's talking about it. No rumor is printed. No secret is revealed. That was John Kennedy. Now, here's a kind of a long one, but I wanted to get into it because I thought it was interesting. I have a great deal of respect for the mind of George Carlin. I really, really wish he was still around today to comment on the past 2 years of American behavior. Now, I don't know. Maybe George Carlin would have been a hysteric. I'm not sure. But I get the feeling he would have seen the insanity of what we've been going through the last couple of years and had some pretty interesting thoughts on it. All of these quotes come from a lot of his stand-up routines, and this was just kind of an interesting one to me. So this is George Carlin. Now, there's one thing you might have noticed I don't complain about, and that's politicians. Now, this is interesting, and that kind of caught my attention. I've heard this spiel before. On this show, I almost exclusively complain about politicians, but I think we're circling around the exact same issue. Here's George Carlin again. He says, everybody complains about politicians. Everybody says they suck. Well, where do you think these politicians come from? They don't fall out of the sky. They didn't pass through a membrane from another reality. They come from American parents and American families, American homes, American schools, American churches, American businesses, and American universities, and they are elected by American citizens. This is the best we can do, folks. This is what we have to offer. It's what our system produces. Garbage in, garbage out. If you have selfish, ignorant citizens, you're going to get selfish, ignorant leaders. Term limits aren't going to do any good. You're just going to end up with a brand new brand of selfish, ignorant Americans. So maybe, just maybe, maybe, it's not the politicians who suck. Maybe something else sucks around here, like the public. Yeah, the public sucks. Now, I think this is a point to this. What I see is my job is to try to wake up the population by pointing out the massive amounts of corruption, the lack of real difference on the biggest issues between either one of the two parties that people have fallen in love with and gotten lockstep with and joined the tribe of, so that maybe these ignorant Americans, again, it doesn't mean everybody's stupid. A lot of people just don't know things. My goal is to try to lay a few breadcrumbs out there to get the rest of the population to realize these selfish and ignorant leaders, I air quote that leader's word, are not worthy of your support, not monetarily, not emotionally, and certainly not at the ballot box. So George Carlin blames us. They do say you get the government that you deserve, and it does kind of feel that way these days. When I come back, Joe Biden, as I said, a little mush-mouthed about it. But Joe Biden actually spoke a truth yesterday, and boy, if that isn't news, I don't know what is. We'll do it when I come back. You know, it's kind of funny. I self-reflect a lot. I don't ever know if it's insulting when you come on to a, you know, public airwaves and call the American populace ignorant, stupid. I make references to Idiocracy. I doubt that really offends anybody, because the funny thing about it is anybody that's listening to my voice probably agrees with me, because we all, myself included, we think, well, we're not the dumb ones. I may be the dumb one. I may be part of the great ignorance of America. I mean, I don't know. I don't feel like I am from the things that I observe. I think partisanship and propaganda make people ignorant, make people dumb, make people do things that are not within their best interest. But it's just kind of funny to me. I mean, we all assume, I don't mind. Of course, Americans are stupid. Look at what we're doing. We just all assume that the actions that we're taking that are opposed to the ones that we think are stupid makes us smart. It's just interesting. human observation. I'm about to get to this Biden clip where he actually told the truth about something. It's only a 7-second clip. We've gotten 7 seconds of honesty from Joe Biden in his first year in office. But as I was thinking about it, I thought I had seen a headline this morning saying that Joe Biden's approval ratings had sunk below Kamala Harris. And so I was kind of excited about this. I thought it was funny. Kamala Harris is not at all popular, even with Democrats. She is so easy to see through. She's Hillary-esque and in a completely empty suit. She offers absolutely nothing. No skill, no nothing. I mean, outside of maybe some skills she exercised to move herself up the political ladder. I won't go any further than that, but they're personal, sexual. Anyway, what I thought I'd find, because last I'd seen, Kamala Harris's approval rating was somewhere in the mid to low 30s. You know, she had really gotten down to basically just the hardcore Democrats that would never say anything bad about a Democrat. There's 30% of the people that are hardcore Republicans. They'll never say anything bad about Republicans. But what it is that Joe Biden, they show his approval rating. This was a Gallup poll. They show him at 43%. They show Kamala Harris at 44%. Her number was high to me. She's on the rise. And I started thinking, are they trying to set us up for something here? Trying to polish this turd that is Kamala Harris, move her up the opinion rankings. This was on a story that I guess they polled Americans on several different people. Chuck Schumer's on here, Nancy Pelosi. Nancy Pelosi at 40% approval rating just shows you. I mean, there's a lot of people out there that just are not paying attention. But I started looking at the list. The first one is Chief Justice John Roberts. He has a 60% approval rating. I would imagine that with conservatives, that is markedly lower. But the next one was Federal Reserve Chairman Jerome Powell has a 53% approval rating. Now, I think they only polled 800 Americans for this. I would imagine of those 800 Americans, two understand exactly what Jerome Powell and the Federal Reserve do. Most people don't even know who this guy is. But to think that the guy, I mean, in the throes of inflation, much of it that sits at the feet of Jerome Powell and those, Janet Yellen, Ben Bernanke, Alan Greenspan, those that came before him, to think that people would give him above water approval rating running the Federal Reserve right now, that shows you the ignorance of the American people. People should be demanding that the central bank be closed down, shuttered permanently, gone, done. Instead, I've got a high approval rating of the Federal Reserve. It's endless propaganda of them saying that they saved the economy and that they are, you know, keeping us at full employment and the rest of the lies the Federal Reserve tells us. But anyway, all right, let's get to this Joe Biden clip. I'm kind of anxious to hear it again. As I said, it was kind of a garbled when I was listening to it. I can't tell if it's marbles in his mouth, if it's just pure on dementia, or if it was the speakers on my laptop that made it hard for me to understand. But this is what Joe Biden said yesterday about the pandemic.
Look, there is no federal solution. This gets solved at a state level. Look, there is no federal solution. This gets solved at a state level.
Yeah, he does sound terrible. But yeah, there's no federal solution. Now, we'll juxtapose that. We've got other clips, other great researchers, people who are adept to technology and supercuts and these kinds of things have certainly done their work and jumped on these clips. This was Joe Biden back in 2020 when he was campaigning for president and promising to save the world.
As I said before, I'll shut down the virus.
For unvaccinated, we are looking at a winter of severe illness and death for unvaccinated. For themselves, their families, and the hospitals, they'll soon overwhelm.
As I said before.
I love this.
I'll shut down the virus.
That virus needs to get off my lawn. I love Joe Biden's get off my lawn speaking style. Why are you so angry? But that's him. You know, a year ago, he was going to shut down the virus. Now he's had more deaths on his watch than Donald Trump did. And he's promising a winter of death and destruction. Of course, he lays that at the feet of the unvaxxed. Just to further do it, this is Joe Biden. He tweeted this on October 15th of last year. Joe Biden says, we're 8 months into this pandemic and Donald Trump still doesn't have a plan to get this virus under control. I do. This was October of last year. Now we've had more deaths under his watch than Donald Trump's watch. And he says, oh, well, it's, you know, this was never never anything for the federal government. Now, Joe Biden, as I said, we just got 7 seconds of truth from Joe Biden. This is not a federal issue. Never should have been. Anthony Fauci should have been fired immediately from Donald Trump as soon as he saw him trying to usurp control over everyday Americans' lives. It did not happen. Instead, he was given a podium for the entirety of the Trump administration, and he hasn't missed a beat, even in the Biden administration. The federal government is not a solution to anything. And that's the thing that's so lost in everybody, is everybody looks around to try to find the next savior. They try to line up behind a party. They try to find a great candidate. They want DeSantis. They want Trump back. They want this. They want that. The federal government solves absolutely nothing. Federal government was never should have been tasked. We're going to talk about Anthony Fauci and his record as the highest paid government employee, and basically at the nexus of all power for the last 18 months. Federal government can't solve poverty. Federal government never should have gotten involved in education. It's never going to fix education. I believe it actually purposefully makes education worse. Another great George Carlin clip to paraphrase him. He said, look, they're not trying to educate you. They just want you smart enough to push the buttons and pull the levers to keep the machines working. Federal government's not going to solve racism. It's not going to solve sexism. It's not going to solve any of the isms. The federal government is never going to solve a single problem. It was never designed to solve a single problem. Federal government is supposed to be kind of an overarching thing to kind of organize the states, kind of keep us on the same page, make sure we are all represented well around the world. Just a few tiny little duties that the federal government had. Maybe make a common currency for us. They even abdicated that responsibility. Maybe protect our borders. They don't do that. They'll protect Ukrainian borders. But the federal government should never have been involved in coronavirus response in the first place, other than to maybe say, hey, here's what the bug is. This is what we know. Knock yourselves out, states. Do whatever you want to. And then citizens of the states could have taken the reins from there. It is endless government rules and regulations that have gotten us where we are right now. It is people doing people things that generally will solve problems or address problems. And the smaller the group is, the more targeted an effective response can be. But this idea that this one small town full of corrupt people, very wealthy. I mean, it's a wealthy town. I'll give you that. It's a very wealthy town. A lot of wealth concentrated in Washington, D.C. But the idea that a few hundred people in Washington, D.C. can somehow solve the problems of 330 million Americans in diverse cultures and diverse backgrounds, diverse geography, diverse cultures. Somehow the one-size-fits-all solutions come out of Washington, D.C. has never been the case. It is why I'm a libertarian. I gave up hope on these kinds of ideas that if we just get that government in place that we really want, they'll finally get it right. They'll finally get things done. It is not the case and never will be the case that they solve anything. You know, there was on Drudge today, a couple of big headlines there asking the most painfully obvious question that most of us should be asking. 817,000 COVID deaths on his watch. 81 years old. Time to go. Talking about Anthony Fauci. I mean, just think about this for just a second. As we, you know, and believe me, this 817,000 number is ridiculous. But if there's the number they're going to use to bludgeon us over the head, then it's the number that you should use for their record, right? Anthony Fauci has now been spewing out his ridiculous propaganda for 18, 20 months now, almost 2 years. He has been endlessly pontificating on every Sunday show and behind every podium, and every doctor has been listening to every word that comes out of his mouth now for 2 years. We've got the worst COVID outcomes, according to their statistics, the worst COVID outcomes in the world. In the world. And prior to this, we were already the sickest country, the most medicated country out there. This is the guy who is in charge of the National Institutes of Infectious Disease. He has the worst record in the world. And people are still listening to him. I don't still have that poll page up. I don't know if they polled Anthony Fauci's approval ratings. I had the television on last night, and it was one of the I think it was Jimmy Fallon. I was watching the news. It bled over. I was on my laptop trying to get ready for the show. Fallon comes on. I could tolerate about 60 seconds of it when he started talking. And one of the first things out of his mouth, today, Dr. Fauci said, he has the worst record in the world for COVID mitigation. And he is still running the show. He does look great for 81. I'm going to give him that. That'd be the one thing. I was surprised to find out he had just turned 81 years old. I'd say he looks 72. I would imagine some kind of a deal with the devil involves slower aging than most people, because it's quite obvious he's made some kind of evil bargain to be the highest paid employee and do as much damage as he has done. But he has led us through the worst outcomes in the world when it comes to COVID, and we're still listening to this man. And I'm going to ask, we'll have Americans for Prosperity here on Thursday. You know, they do a lot of stuff with state budgets. You know, they want to see Mississippi be lean and mean, very competitive. They're about economic prosperity and cutting taxes and reducing expenditures at the state government level. I'm going to ask them if we could really, couldn't we do away with Thomas Dobbs' salary? Couldn't we just get a parrot to listen to Anthony Fauci and just recite what Anthony Fauci says? The guy with the worst record in the world on mitigating COVID, because basically that's all that Thomas Dobbs does. Burk, wear your mask. Burk, get your shot. I don't know how much a parrot costs, but they live a long time. Don't parrots live like 80 or 90 years? We could save, I would imagine Dobbs is making a couple of hundred grand a year. And the rest of them that take all their marching orders from the CDC and the NIH, I think you can get a good parrot for under $1,000 and it'll last for 80 years. I'll ask AFP about that when they come in on Thursday. Be right back. All right, we are back. This is the Mike Madison Show, 1039 WYAB. You want to call into the show, 601-879. I've got like six different things going on in my head right now, and I have my phone out, and I'm trying to pull up a clip at the same time. So please, my apologies. Somebody the other day when I was running a rerun when I was out for the holidays, somebody was texting me during the show, which is always a great insult. A lot of friends that text me during the show with random questions, not about the show, random questions, which is just this big, hey, not listening to you today, just wanted to let you know. I was texting back and forth with her, and this girl was texting me. She said, oh my God, how are you doing that? You're incredible. I said, I'm cooking Eggs Benedict at the same time. She thought I was doing a show and texting her live time. Anyway, I cannot do those things, so let me get back on track here. The Mini Mingla, I have a couple of things from him here, and so many of these things I think need to be pointed out, because you have to understand the mind of the Mini Mingla, Anthony Fauci, and his talking parrot, Thomas Dobbs. None of the things that they are talking about are they're not health-related. It's about punishing people. And this is Anthony Fauci has come out now, and he was asked about, you know, these mandates, particularly for vaccinations for flying. You know, this is really sick. I don't know how long this lasts, because I mean, this could be permanent. They are going to try to put these shots onto the school schedule. I believe that firmly. And Mississippi has the worst record in the country when it comes to oppressive vaccine mandates for our children to attend school. So if they are going to force this on our kids, if we have lost, supposedly, 2 years of our lives to this scourge of COVID, this could be permanent. You will no longer be able to fly unless you have had this shot. But it's not about your health. It's not about reducing transmission. It's not about any of those things. It's about forcing. It's about making your life so uncomfortable that you will give up and get this shot. And it has already, the reason that he's still doing this is because it's worked. How many people at their employers just shrugged their shoulders and said, what are you going to do? I mean, I'm going to have to get it at some point. And boy, if they can get everybody who wants to travel by air, I've got a friend in Denver. I've been avoiding flying with, I'm just not going to wear a mask for 5 hours in the airports. I can't stew myself in that level of stupidity in theater. And so I've been avoiding it. We get to this shots. I mean, I'm Mississippi bound for quite a while or anywhere my car will take me. But it is not about your health. This is about forcing you to comply.
Let me ask you about something else from the president's interview with David. David asked...
And this little weasel, his name is Jonathan Carl. He's on This Week on ABC. Just this little weasel who I'm sure is lined up to get his shots and his boosters. He's part of the team. He just doesn't want all of us in the control group, us heroes. Us heroes in the control group, risking our lives during the period of Omnicon to help them prove the efficacy, or lack thereof, of this shot. I mean, I think we're all heroes out here in the control group. But because he's on the team and he's had the jab, he wants everybody to have to take it to be on a plane with him. Just listen to this slimy little creature.
The lack of a vaccine requirement for air travel. There is no vaccine requirement for domestic air travel in the United States. And when the president was asked, should there be one, he said that his team has said it's not necessary at this point. Do you agree with that?
Can you tell us that maybe we should? This is the kid. This is the kid as you're all packing up your books to get out of class that goes, hey, Miss Johnson, you forgot to give us homework. That's this kid. He is now hosting ABC supposed news shows.
There shouldn't be a vaccine requirement for domestic air travel?
Well, it depends on what you want to use it for. I mean,
okay. What do you want to use it there for, little mini Mengele? For health, right? I mean, it's all about transmission and contraction of this horrific disease, right?
Vaccine requirements for people coming in from other countries is to prevent newly infected people from getting into the country.
And how does that make a lick of sense, knowing that these shots do not prevent infection, do not prevent transmission? So what difference does it make if somebody flies here from Great Britain, jabbed or unjabbed, they could be contagious? Jabbed or unjabbed, they could be sick. None of it matters.
A vaccine requirement for a person getting on the plane is just another level of getting people to have a mechanism that would spur them to get vaccinated.
That's a word salad there. This would just be another requirement that is such a pain in the ass that we would force more people to go get this shot. Well, that's really what it's just a what he said. He used like six adjectives in that. It's a mechanism to turn the key to make possibly convince or coerce. I mean, he doesn't use any of those honest words, but that's what he's saying. This is just about making it a mechanism to force people to get this shot.
Level of getting people to have a mechanism that would spur them to get vaccinated. Namely, you can't get on a plane unless you're vaccinated, which is just another one of the ways of getting requirements, whatever that might be. So, I mean, anything that could get people more vaccinated would be welcome. But with regard to the...
Again, this is with a shot that doesn't stop contraction of the disease, doesn't stop transmission. So what is the benefit? I am waiting, desperately waiting, for the 100% Pure Blood Airlines. I will hop on mask-free Pure Blood Airlines. I will jump on. I'll take the maiden flight when that is announced. In a free market, we would already have that now. We don't have a free market because the feds control so many of the purse. You know, they're constantly bailing out the airlines. It would cost an airline billions and billions of dollars to actually offer, hey, mask, unmask, vaxxed, unvaxxed, we don't care, we want you all. We might even get an airline with peanuts again. But the feds control so much of this stuff that they can't do it.
Spread a virus in the country I mean, I think if you look at wearing a mask and the filtration on planes, things are reasonably safe. We want to make sure people keep their masks on. I think the idea of taking masks off, in my mind, is really not something we should even be considering. That's what we meant by it depends on what the goal of getting people vaccinated before they get on a domestic flight.
Yeah, yeah. And, of course, the airline CEOs were suggesting that, you know, that we may no longer need a mask. I hear you loud and clearly you disagree with that on the airplane. Oh,
God, this guy is such a scumbag. Jonathan Carl. The CEO said we don't need a mask, but I hear you loud and clear. We do need the mask. We need the mask. So they want to make sure that everybody on these planes has got the shots. I think it's worth mentioning. How's that working out for the cruise ships? This is a December 27th story from Reuters. The U.S. Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. Can they just go ahead and change the name of this organization, please? This is the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. We're 2 years into a pandemic now, and all they can talk about is the tremendous spikes in the overwhelmed hospital and the record cases. Can we go ahead and change the? I'll have to think of a new name. But they are certainly not controlling or preventing disease, according to their own metrics. We'll just call them CDC so that name doesn't trigger me anymore. The U.S. CDC said on Monday it was investigating nearly, anyone? 70 cruise ships. After reports of COVID-19 cases on board. 70. Now, this is one of those things where Joe Biden spoke the truth and said a federal response is never going to solve coronavirus. Those of us knew that last March. If we'd have been asked, we could have told you. If Donald Trump had paid attention and rescinded his emergency order and said, hey, states, knock yourself out. Do what you want to. But he didn't. He let the feds take control of this thing. The feds have mandated that everybody on cruise ships has to get the jab. Huh. Now we have 70. The CDC is investigating 70 cruise ships. I've reported on 3, I think. I had no idea this problem was so widespread, but it doesn't surprise me. 70 cruise ships full of completely vaccinated staff and passengers are now being investigated for COVID outbreaks. Yeah, sure, that's going to work to make sure that everybody on an airplane has got this same jab. You know, coronavirus, we do know it's very clever, right? We do know it comes out at 10 o'clock to the restaurants, so they got to shut at 10 o'clock in the bars. We know that it hovers around 6 feet, so you're fine if you're sitting down eating, but if you get up to go to the bathroom, you've got to put a mask on because that's where COVID hides out. We know there's a very clever things. You know, COVID is very bad at Trump rallies. Not so bad at Black Lives Matter protests. You know, the COVID is it has got to be the smartest, most intelligent disease we've ever faced off with. And maybe it does know the difference between an airplane and a cruise ship. Maybe that's the case. I'll be right back. All right, trigger alert. I'm about to do a drive-by on my least popular topic. But anyway, before I get to that, South Koreans are beginning to stand up against these jabs. South Koreans have taken to the streets in South Korea. It's got pictures of them in the snow. I have to admit, I didn't realize it would be snowing in South Korea right now. See, I've learned something just from reading this story. But about 10,000 people in South Korea have died under murky circumstances shortly after being vaccinated. The government has only reported a connection in a handful of serious cases, but it's also moved to recognize and compensate victims. Huh. Well, there's something to feather in their cap. At least there's no cash here. I mean, if you got the jab, you ran into some problems. Good luck to you. For example, a nursing assistant who was recognized in August as a victim of an industrial accident and awarded government benefits after suffering paralysis in the wake of receiving the AstraZeneca jab. They do have Pfizer and Moderna there, too. They're reporting 10,000 deaths. Their government, like our government, is trying to ignore the problem. I guess they're on the take over there as well. There was a story yesterday. This is from Deadline. Deadline is hearing from multiple sources that the shocking death of filmmaker Jean-Marc Vallée resulted from a heart attack while at his cabin on the river outside of Quebec City, where he's preparing to receive guests the following day. The story just goes on to say, so it's considered likely he passed December 25th and was found the following morning. Vallée was known as a fitness fanatic and a teetotaler, a practitioner of the Wim Hof fitness method, which is not for the faint of heart. They say they will update the official cause of death when it is released. Now, I know probably a lot of listeners to this show. I know where my mind went first. I believe the guy was 58 years old. As it says, he was a fitness fanatic in great shape, didn't drink, did everything for his health. Suddenly, as soon as I see these stories, dies unexpectedly or dies suddenly. And we found out that this was a heart attack. Strangely enough, nowhere in the story did it mention his vaccine status. I'm just going to say, I think the chances are good. He was expecting guests. And if we know our Hollywood elites, they're not gathering with the unjabbed and the unboosted. But we'll probably never know the truth of that. Could be just a random heart attack. 58-year-olds do occasionally have heart attacks, even fit ones. So we'll see. Here's my quick drive. Well, I tell you what, let me do this other thing real quick. And then I'll do this. I'm going to do this, and then I'm going to get out of the room. I ran across this comment, and I think it's important to mention. One of the hardest things, particularly in the polarized society that we have now, is not being swayed wildly into one side or the other. I see a lot of this. I'm maybe even predisposed to do this, but I'm trying to always self-monitor and be open to any facts. If they change my mind, if I was wrong about something and something is proven that proves me wrong, I'm willing to accept it. There was a article about these shots, and there were people in there saying, you know, billions of people are going to die. I've heard this a lot from people. Oh, you're 3 years away. Just count the days from the day you get your shot, and 3 years you're going to be dead. Nobody knows this for sure. Nobody knows this because we haven't been doing these shots for 3 years. And so we have to really always resist this idea of swinging wildly to one side, because I believe it completely damages your credibility to speak of something that there is absolutely no certainty on. But there was this comment here under one of these stories on these shots. This guy wrote, "I hate this fake vaccine hysteria. I hate this fake vaccine hysteria. But aren't we going off the deep end too by proclaiming, quote, millions will die of the jab? The jabs are horrible and useless, and certainly hundreds of thousands have died from their effect, but we need to be careful about making exorbitant claims in the other direction. This is an open question, folks, and I'm open to being convinced either way." That's my kind of guy right there. Look, I think this whole thing, this huge experiment on humanity, is an absolute disaster for a million different reasons. The coercion, the fact that these things aren't tested, the deaths that are being ignored, the doctors who are refusing to acknowledge adverse events when people present with them. I mean, it's top to bottom, it's bad. Just don't jump to the other side. Don't cling to everything that you hear, even when it's somebody that really feels what, you know, goes along with your point of view. I don't want millions of people to die for this, because I know a lot of people who've had this shot, and I hope for some reason they beat the Russian roulette game with this thing. I really hope that that's the case. I'd rather look like a jackass and have nothing happen than to be proven right and lose a lot of loved ones. So it's very difficult. Both sides of this, those of you who believe in the shot, telling everybody that this is safe and effective and it'll prevent you from being hospitalized and dying for sure, you're just wrong. The facts just don't bear that out. Everybody needs to be open to exploring this as we go along. All right, my quick drive-by here. I have taken great exception with the comments of Donald Trump over the last couple of weeks when it's come to these vaccines, and I found a fellow traveler yesterday. This is Alex Jones, one of the most ardent Trump supporters during his time in office.
This is an emergency Christmas Day warning to President Trump. You are either completely ignorant about the so-called vaccine gene therapy that you helped ram through with Operation Warp Speed, or you're one of the most evil men who has ever lived. To push this toxic poison on the public and to attack your constituents when they simply try to save their lives and the lives of others. We're about to lay out the basic incontrovertible facts that what you told Candace Owens just a few days ago is nothing but a raft of dirty lies.
And we
So there we go. Some fellow travelers, I got some messages of support to the fact that I am taking Trump on head on this shot thing. I was disappointed with Trump in a whole host of different areas, and I did not fail to express them over the past 4 years. But I believe he is right now disqualifying himself when it comes to this shot and his dismissal, as I agree with Alex Jones there, his dismissal of his own supporters who are hesitant about this, where he's now trying to convince you that you should take a victory lap around this shot instead of being hesitant. I think it is absolutely disqualifying to him in 2024. It is time for the Republican Party to move on. But looks like I'm not the only one. Maybe this information gets to Trump and he does a U-turn. It'll be too little too late for me, but it might save his chances in 2024. I'll be right back.
No phone, no phone. I just want to be alone today.
All right, we are back. This is the Mike Madison Show, 103.9 WYAB. I'm going to start a fun little game on this show. I'm going to try to stick to this. I do research stuff and make sure I've got stuff pulled up during the breaks. But while we continue to search for an alternative to CBS News, it's just there's just not any good news outlets out there. What I may start doing is using the first part of every segment after a CBS News break to rebut everything that they said. We could probably have a little bit of fun with this. I got a call during the break, so I couldn't listen to all of it, but the first thing they said was they were talking about the record cases. 500,000 new record, I guess, for single daily cases. It's the testing dummies. I mean, I am fascinated by this because I would really like to know what would be the numbers if you use this kind of test. I don't know. The rapid test, I don't know. It's really its comparison. I need to look this up to the PCR test where we know if you got the cycle threshold too high, you were going to find COVID in anybody that you wanted to find it in. They didn't have to be sick. They didn't have to be contagious. They didn't nothing. Just a broken fragment of a dead virus in their body, and this PCR test would find it and call them a case. I don't know if these rapid tests are doing the same thing. I don't know if they're reliable. I don't know what technology they're using. I'm derelict to my duty to not know that. But they're testing everybody. People are standing in mile long lines to get tested. And so we have another case demic. We're falling for another case demic. It's unbelievable to watch. But anyway, I'll start listening to these news breaks, jotting down a few notes, and we'll just do a point counterpoint with the national news each hour. I ran across an interesting piece today by CBS MarketWatch. I don't know what's behind these shots. A lot of people have different ideas about so many things that surround COVID. There are people who believe this is a mass extermination event. They are trying to depopulate the earth. Bill Gates has certainly said things that make you suspect of his motives. He said them out loud and in public, all the way up to and including paraphrasing. He said, "We're going to use vaccines to reduce the population." I think he was talking about Africa. You know, I was looking at this story about South Korea protesting the fact that they are covering up injuries and deaths around the vaccine in South Korea. Now, South Korea is no third world country. It's a very prosperous country. Very interesting thing to see on the same peninsula, the differences between capitalism and communism, particularly at night when North Korea is completely dark and South Korea is lit up like Las Vegas. Activity and success and prosperity in South Korea. So it's I love that comparison. But South Korea is a very progressive area. It's very industrialized and very modern in South Korea. And they're out there protesting these things. But it did just, I guess, maybe just seeing somebody who looks different than us. So it's not a Western country. It's not Australia or England or Switzerland or Germany or Italy or the United States. It's an Asian country. And it's funny to me when I look at those things. I don't know how many of you have ever seen the stories in the past of the African villages that when they would come with the vaccine trucks, they would run away, literally run away. I'm not talking about closing the doors. I'm talking about they would pack up their families, when these programs came with all of the jabs, and they would run out into whatever, the desert, the forest, I guess, depending on what part of Africa they were in. And I remember as a young, brainwashed, I don't know what I was, but I was just I just accepted everything, particularly the pharmaceutical companies told me. This was a long time ago, as you can tell by my rhetoric now. But I remember thinking about these Africans. Oh, those backwards people. Good Lord, what a bunch of weirdos, you know? I guess they're going to get the witch doctor to help them. You know, I would just make fun of how backwards and ignorant these Africans were because they would run away from these life-saving medications. I know what they were doing now. I totally get it. These Africans who were actually grabbing their children and running away from their villages to avoid their vaccination programs that were brought to their town, they were way ahead of the curve. They were actually less ignorant than we are here in the United States, as we see people lining up to get shots and tests and all of these things. Just very interesting. But Market Watch, so to get back to my point, I don't really know what's behind this. I don't know if it's a depopulation agenda. I am so cynical that I don't think they want to kill us all, because I think there's no money in that. I mean, unless Pfizer and Merck and Raytheon, Amazon, unless they bought a bunch of funeral homes, but that's still, it's just a one-off. What's a casket? 10 grand? What's an entire funeral? $10,000-$15,000? And it's a one hit. So far, people only die once. The money is to be made in the conditions that exist for a lifetime. This is why Thomas Dobbs didn't want to solve diabetes here. There's big money in diabetes. Now, you have to suffer for them to make their money, but that's okay with them. I do believe that pharmaceuticals and our masters, our overlords, they have no problem with our suffering. Our suffering is incredibly profitable to the medical establishment. And so I don't, you know, I'm so cynical that I think that they, if they had the choice between killing us and keeping us alive but sick, they'd keep us alive and sick. That's the scam that keeps on going. But I don't exactly know. This feels like a big money grab to me. And the fact that we are already seeing people who have taken these shots that have ended up with these conditions, autoimmune, heart conditions, and them going on to social media and showing all the drugs they now take, 12 drugs. This one, I think he was a nursing assistant, had taken the jab, and he was showing all of his medications, one for $1,000 a month, one for $800 a month. I'm like, there you go. This really is, I mean, it's not just the $176 billion of the vaccination program. It's all the knock-ons. If this thing makes people sick or compromises their immune system in some way, make them more susceptible to more diseases, holy cow. It's not one little funeral pop. It's you know, millions of dollars per patient over their lifetime, and that would be my suspicion. But again, I don't know exactly what it is. But I have been interested in the propaganda around it. And I ran across this MarketWatch story this morning before I came on air. I actually had to look up the term propaganda to make sure I was not using it incorrectly. Let me give you the definition of propaganda. The systematic propagation of a doctrine or cause or of information reflecting the views and interests of those advocating such a doctrine or cause. Another is material dissemination by the advocates or opponents of a doctrine or cause, or systematic effort to propagate or win support for a theory or method of action. So, yes, this is all propaganda. All propaganda around getting people to accept these shots into their lives. So I'm going to read a little bit of this. This was just an interesting, the headline grabbed me. The headlines was, this is Market Watch, vaccines help reduce COVID-19 transmission and hospitalization, but they may have important secondary benefits. I already have a problem with this headline because, first of all, it should say vaccines don't help reduce COVID transmission and hospitalization, because that's being shown all over the world. But if they mean to say it does help reduce, shouldn't it say, but they also may have important secondary benefits? Seems like that's just sentence structure to me. Just seems odd. A subheadline of this Market Watch piece was, a new paper by researchers at the University of Southern California and the Rand Corporation sheds light on the mental health benefits of being vaccinated. And I'm going to read to you a little bit of this story. I don't have time to get it. I'll tell you what, I'm going to take a break because I wanted to read a good chunk of this. Because you want to talk about a mind bender here. I had not seen this before, but now they are touting the shots, not only for help with transmission and hospitalization, of which there is scant evidence that that is even true, but now they are telling you, oh, get the shot. It's good for your mental health. Wait till I show you why they say this is. I'll be right back.
I went home with a waitress the way I always do. How was I to know?
She was the widow. If I don't have a phone call during the break, and you're welcome to always call me during the break. I don't take a lot of phone calls on the show because I've got material that I want to get through. I don't want to pull it apart and make it disjointed, so I'll get through it. But if you want to call during the break, 601-879-0002. If I don't have a break, though, I'll get up and just wander around the studio just to kind of stretch. I'm not a good sit-for-a-long-time guy. Somebody, I would imagine several of the hosts here have been putting currencies on the wall here. We've got a peso. Looks like we've got an Iraqi dinar. Some people believe that Iraqi dinar is going to be worth millions someday. Oh, you poor people who invested in that. But there's a bunch of different currencies up there. I was wandering around looking at it. I didn't know if we had a Zimbabwe up there. I know Stephen Utroska has come on here before. He's got a collection of the, you know, they're like $100 billion bills. And I'm really wondering how long it's going to take until the United States, till we start seeing, you know, the $10,000 bill, the $20,000 bill, the $100,000 bill. A lot of people have asked me, you know, do you think with this inflation they're going to bring back the, you know, the $500 bill, the $1,000 bill? I believe there used to be a $1,000 bill. I think there is not now. The answer to that is never. They're not going to do that. Do you know why? It doesn't matter how much things cost. They are trying to hurt us. They want to make currency as inconvenient as possible. They do not want us to have cash easy to carry around because they want to hurt us into this digital stuff. I find it fascinating that we still have got the penny. I looked it up during the break. The penny is 223 years old. During the course of its time, the penny has lost 99.9% of its value. I'm spitballing here, but I would imagine that's probably accurate. Why are we clinging to the penny? In a time like we have right now with inflation, we are still forced. I pay for a lot of stuff with cash. I like to pay with cash. I will always pay with cash. You are not going to herd me into the digital economy exclusively. But we are still clinging to this penny. Barely weighs anything. It's worth almost nothing. It's just kind of a rounding error and stuff. Yet it probably would tick me off if they take it away and they round everything up to the top nickel. Anyway, just interesting. How long till we see the 100,000 bill? Now, and I say they're never going to bring these things back if we have hyperinflation, though. True hyperinflation, Zimbabwe style. Right now, Turkey is going through these kinds of things. Argentina, Venezuela. We run into this kind of situation. They may be forced to do a little something-something. It's going to, I guess, in Weimar, Germany, they talked about taking wheelbarrows full of currency in to buy a loaf of bread. Oh, let's hope that's not our future. All right, I wanted to get into this Market Watch piece. The sub-headline is, a new paper by researchers at University of Southern California and the RAND Corporation sheds light on the mental health benefits of being vaccinated. Here's the story. Vaccination against COVID-19 helps protect millions of people from the coronavirus while reducing their risk of serious illness from the disease. Period. Now, they have scant, if any, evidence to say that this is actually true. It is proving to not be the case, especially in the days of the Omicron. But this piece goes on. But new research says it may also help alleviate the scourge of anxiety and depression. They are billing this shot as some level of an antidepressant. So let's read further. How do they get to that? Quote, while vaccines are primarily aimed at reducing COVID-19 transmission and mortality risk, they may have important secondary benefits, according to a new paper from the University of Southern California and the RAND Corporation. RAND is kind of one of these evil corps. I didn't look it up, probably should have, but I'm just going to imagine that they probably have some skin in the game when it comes to the pharmaceutical companies. The scientists used data from the U.S. Census Bureau's Household Pulse Survey and cross-referenced those figures to state-level COVID-19 vaccination eligibility data to estimate secondary benefits of vaccination on mental health outcomes. Quote, "We estimate that COVID-19 vaccination reduces anxiety and depression symptoms by nearly 30%. Fear of testing positive among frontline workers and social isolation has taken an emotional toll on millions of people." Do you see what they're doing here? They make your life miserable. I mean, it is the same people that are pushing the shot that forced people into the social isolation, that gave them this constant anxiety of testing positive. You think there's no anxiety to that? People are rushing out to make sure they don't have this cold in them somewhere. They crush you mentally. And then they tell you, well, you can feel better when you get the shot. I mean, this is just diabolical stuff. The researchers noted larger reductions in anxiety or depression symptoms among individuals with lower education levels, who rent their homes, who are not able to work remotely, or who have children in their household. How many parents are out there right now getting jabbed, getting their children jabbed just to try to get their lives back? I don't want these kids in my house anymore. If I jab them, can I send them out? Quote, "Nearly all of the benefits are private benefits, and we find little evidence of spillover effect. That is, increases in community vaccination rates are not associated with improved anxiety or depression symptoms among the unvaccinated," they added. So see, if you don't get the jab, you don't get this relief. Here's the funny thing, too. I would imagine the vast majority of the unvaccinated, we don't suffer the anxiety. I fear no Omicron. I fear it none. I'm ready to get it. I actually know a lot of people who are sick right now. Talked about basically flu. Some of them have fevers. Some are coughing. Some have got scratchy throats. I know several people who are sick right now. I fear it none. I will go drink after them. I think my immune system can handle it, but you know, it's a cold, even if it gets a breakthrough. So they have mentally tortured and abused hundreds of millions of Americans. And they tell you that this shot, with just the most minor efficacy that I can even find, I'm going to grant it maybe a couple of months of protection. Maybe. That's the best I can find from information from Alex Berenson and some of the other people that have been really watching this. You may have some level for a couple of months. Now they're going to be giving you four shots, may totally destroy your immune system. New scientists are speaking up in Israel saying, hey, this fourth shot, are you kidding us? You are forever altering our immune system. You are overwhelming the immune system. Back off a little bit. This is happening now. It'll happen here. Scientists will speak up. They'll be marginalized. They'll be ignored. They'll be deplatformed. And you will be, if you are on the vaccine treadmill, you will be at your fourth, fifth, sixth, and seventh shot over the next 18 months. But it is amazing to me that now Market Watch's tact on this is, we scared the bejesus out of you. Just take the shot. It'll make you feel better. You won't be as scared. I found this very interesting. It's there's a term I want to use for this that is not FCC compliant. It's a mind melter. It is the problem reaction solution. Create the problem, manage the reaction, and then provide the solution to it. This is all self-imposed by the exact same people pushing the vaccine, or the exact same people that gave people this anxiety, this fear. The problem is they're just having a hard time reaching us in the control group that are not scared. You're not going to convince me that I'm going to reduce my anxiety with a shot because I have none. I'm not scared of life. I'll walk around. I'll shake your hand. I'll give you a hug if you want it. Some of you out there, the hysterics, I'll even stroke your hair for a little while. It seems like you need it. All right, we are back. This is the Mike Madison Show, 103.9 WYAB. Yeah, tomorrow from 10 to 11 o'clock, I'll do Hump Day Health. Natural health news you can use. Already got a lot of stuff lined up for that show. Particularly as we head into a new year, time to start thinking, making some new commitments, see if they'll stick this year. But not only am I dedicated to trying to help people reclaim their physical health, I'm about mental health too. I'm giving you this, I'm breaking down and debunking this Market Watch story about how these shots are good for your mental health now. The fact is, if you stop allowing them to terrorize you on the news, did the story yesterday about the Amish. And one of the biggest things that jumped out to me is that the Amish don't have televisions. And they have had a wonderful 2020, 2021 when it came to COVID. Very productive. They were very profitable. They did not lock down. They did not mask. And they did not take the shots. They don't have TVs. That may be why they're not hysterical like so many Americans. But I am about better mental health, so I'll do this one story real quick. And I wanted to do kind of get down really deep down into this research here because I think it's important to understand, you know, the mechanisms of a study and how they come to these conclusions. But I'd have to save some of this for Mike Madison After Dark. I started reading through the story during the break and I was like, oh, geez, I can't I can't report the facts on this one. But the headline was, and I clicked on it and saved it as a link for the show just based on the headline. And this is all about trying to help my listeners. Women who have more sex have better developed brain, study says. I'm just saying. You're welcome, guys. You can look at the story again with the kids home during the holidays. They're in the car with you. They're at home with you, wherever you're listening. I can't get into this story, but it's pretty well researched. And they have decided that, ladies, if you want to step up your mental game, there may be an easy way for you to do it. You're welcome, guys. On the more serious side of it, there is a story. The school board meetings are going to crank back up. I fear the return of the mask. Is that a song? It should be. Shot requirements for our kids. The same nut jobs that have been in charge of our children's lives for the past 2 years are not going to relinquish control over our children if you do not get to these school board meetings and demand that they back off and let these children have a normal life. There's a study done out, lockdown policies and mask mandates linked with lower IQs in children. Nation's recent lockdown policies and mask mandates will create a generation of children who exhibit lower IQs and signs of social brain damage, according to a clinical psychiatrist for children and adolescents. It's Dr. Mark McDonald. He's citing an August 11th study by Brown University that found that, quote, children born during the pandemic have significantly reduced verbal, motor, and overall cognitive performance compared to children born pre-pandemic. Again, this has nothing to do. You would hear the mainstream news would report on this and say the pandemic caused, coronavirus caused. No. Coronavirus caused none of these things. There's no biological mechanism that is reducing the IQ of our children inherent in COVID. No, it is the adults that are supposedly in charge. I guess let me reverse that. The supposed adults that are in charge and their reaction to this. The masks, Zoom schools, and lockdown mandates have led to deprivation overall of social contact, of not being able to see faces, being stuck at home all day long, and this has actually caused brain damage to the youngsters. Hennigan cited this October 2nd study, which concluded that, quote, 8 out of 10 children and adolescents report worsening of behavior or any psychological symptoms of an increase in negative feelings due to, of course, here it comes, the COVID-19 pandemic. Again, it has nothing to do with the pandemic itself. It has to do with the fact that the nut jobs in charge tried to strip our children of social interactions, of closeness with other people, of laughing, of playing on the playgrounds, of eating lunch indoors. I keep seeing reports. I don't have kids in the schools anymore. I keep seeing reports of kids in Madison County schools, I think, having to eat outdoors. This is just nuts. Absolutely nuts. The reason that I really bring this up, you need to be involved with your school board meetings. I know Madison County, I believe, has theirs next Monday night, 5 o'clock. I assume it's still on Highland Colony at their school board meeting. Again, people are kind of standing down now. They're kind of leaving the kids alone. But with the Omicron around us, You might see an abrupt about face. But if you want, if you're planning on going to the school boards, this is the kind of information you need to give them. These are studies by Brown University. I can't remember who did this other study. The Oxford University Center for Evidence-Based Medicine. They cited evidence that pandemic restrictions and the, quote, fear we instill into children has led to the worsening of psychological problems. These are the kinds of studies that you need to take to these school board meetings and cite these things. I'm all about the freedom. I'm all about parents being in charge of their children and having a say. But a lot of these people, they just want to see the data. They want to see the science. They just bludgeon us over the head with the science this and the science that. Well, the science is what you've been doing to our children is harming them. And these could be long-term harms. The sooner that we stop doing it, the best time we could have stopped doing this stuff was when it started. The second best time is now. Don't let our school kids go back into these masks, back into lockdowns, back into Zoom classes. Don't let it happen. There's evidence showing that this stuff is hurting the kids. This is the kind of stuff you need to take to the school board meetings. When I come back, I want to get a little bit of Tech Tuesday stuff. There were some things here on the metaverse. I'm telling you, it's coming. And apparently it was very popular over Christmas, so the first wave of adopters is occurring right now. You might want to step in front of your child. How many of you gave the gateway to the metaverse to your child or your young adult for Christmas this year? This may be something you need to rethink. We'll talk about it on the other side of this break. All right, final segment for the day here on the Mike Madison Show, 103.9 WYAB. I wanted to get into some tech stuff. I'm fascinated by the robot stuff. I love the Boston Dynamics videos of their robots doing parkour or running around. All of the robot stuff is very fascinating to me, the stuff that they've got working in warehouses. I'm interested to go out and see the Amazon fulfillment center here. I want to see exactly what they've got. Won't be the impressive, you know, eyes and AI moving around robots. Just the robotics itself is fascinating to me, but I really like the humanoid stuff. I'm very intrigued by it, but it gets to a point where you'd really start wondering, where does this all lead? There is a new video here, terrible for radio. I think there's not even any sound to it, but what is this group's name? I encourage you to go look at it just because I think you'll be impressed with what they've got. Ameca, A-M-E-C-A, is the name of this particular robot. It's one with a face. You know, it's got the back of the skull exposed, and its skeleton is all exposed. So this is not a flesh-covered robot, but it does have a flesh face, and they are starting to get the facial gestures right. Again, this from a group called Engineered Arts, and the robot is called Ameca, A-M-E-C-A. They've got a video out. It's only 20 seconds long called Ameca Interaction, and what it is, it's a picture of this robot with incredibly lifelike facial movements, complete with the blinking, which is just kind of interesting to even think about. The fact that they want to make this thing blink makes us, you know, that's what's going to make us associate with it. There's obviously no legitimate reason for it to blink. But it's got a interaction where somebody is coming up and putting their hand in front of this thing's face. And as the hand gets closer to the face, this robot kind of retracts a little bit the same way you would if somebody just walked up to you and started putting their finger towards your nose. And then they put their finger up to the nose and the hand comes up and tries to grab the hand away. Engineered Arts actually said, interacting with Ameca humanoid robot, images from the iCams are processing using sensor flow. It says Ameca reacts as things enter their personal space, and they say this is even starting to creep us. This is actually starting to freak us out at Engineered Arts, and we are used to it. So how far are we away? This thing looks like what you've seen in science fiction movies that's been just CGI created. I guess this is a real thing. And they are certainly making strides. I think we're still a lot long way off. I think we're a long way off from the self-driving car, much further off than we think. I think we are much further off from the robot overlords taking it. And I think that AI is largely algorithms and computer learning, but not this machine-generated learning. I had an AI expert on a couple of years ago. I probably need to get him back to find out exactly where we are, how fast this stuff is progressing. I think we're pretty far away from even the AI stuff. It's probably a little bit of hype to say we're at the cusp of it. But you look at this robot and you realize they are moving forward. So check that out. That's Ameca, A-M-E-C-A. I want to look at a little bit at the metaverse now because I'm going to be covering this story as we start to lose human beings into essentially the Matrix. I mean, that's what this thing is. The metaverse, for those of you who are not familiar with it, if you were familiar at all with Second Life, essentially you can go online into Facebook's little new digital universe. You can pick an avatar. You can be whatever you want to be. I guess you can assign your own gender. I guess you can look however you want to look. You can actually go in and buy things. Of course, this is why Facebook is offering it. This is going to be a gold rush in the metaverse. And I believe, as absurd as I think it feels to me, I think we're wrong to ignore this type of thing. Because as they make life a little bit less tolerable out here in the real world, it will actually push more people, snowflakes first, probably. I don't know if it's wrong to laugh at this or not, but we had our first report. I talked about it a couple of weeks ago. We had our first report of a sexual assault inside the metaverse. Somebody's avatar got groped by somebody else's avatar. And I'm just, you know, I don't care where you go. People are people. Now, in the metaverse, you can have a safe space, an actual like force field where people cannot say things to you if you don't want them to. They cannot get near you if you do not want them to. I suggest all of the COVID hysterics stay at home and live your life in the metaverse. Let the rest of us take regular life from here. I'm absolutely fine with that. You can put your safe space, force field on in the metaverse, in your house, by yourself. While you've got the Oculus goggles on, you can put a mask on underneath that if that's what it takes to get you through the day. This may be the world where we can let the hysterics go, and us normies out here, those of us particularly in the control group, please let us just roam freely. We really don't need you screaming at us on an airline because we took our mask down. I don't know if you saw this video from the Christmas holidays where a Karen took on an elderly man because he wouldn't put his mask on, and she's shouting at him with her mask down, screaming at him to put his mask up. It is true insanity there. This woman is much better suited for the metaverse. We encourage her to go there and leave the rest of us alone. Here's why I thought this story was actually interesting, is that we kind of watch the evolution of this new virtual world that people are going to be going into, and I think that they will. I actually think that Facebook, as it exists right now, will not be around for that much longer. Now, that much longer, maybe 10 years, but everybody who gets all jazzed about trying to break up Google and break up Facebook, you really don't like the government. You do think the government should be small and limited, but you do want to use it as a bludgeon to companies that you don't like. I don't like Facebook either, so you know what I do? I don't use it. I don't like Google either, so you know what I do? I don't use it. And eventually, somebody will overtake these things. There's plenty of companies out there that are in the dustbin of history that we thought would control the world for forever. So I believe that Facebook, in its current thing now, because of my understanding is kids don't use this. They've moved on to the TikToks and the Instagrams or whatever. I sound like an old man talking about this stuff. I just care so little about all of it. I don't get it. I guess TikTok was the most viewed site of this past year. And I got to tell you, if we didn't have an ADHD problem a couple of years ago, I think TikTok is going to usher in a whole new wave of people. And I bet you half of you are going to be taken and put on Adderall and Ritalin because your attention span is now. How long is a TikTok video? Can it be a minute or is it just 30 seconds? I occasionally get TikTok sent to me. Some of it's entertaining. But man, I just about get a seizure trying to go through TikTok feeds. As soon as one is over, another one pops up, totally different subject. My mind's supposed to just immediately forget what I just saw and start focusing on this new video. I don't get it. I don't get it. I do not get it. I don't think it's healthy. Anyway, while Facebook, as its current existence, may be limited in its time, the metaverse is what is proposed to take its place. Ahead of the holidays, Silicon Valley's Facebook made a major announcement that it was rebranding as Meta as part of its corporate embrace of the metaverse. Mark Zuckerberg, the owner and founder of Meta, wants people to embrace a virtual reality world called the metaverse. His company is selling Oculus Quest 2 virtual reality headsets, which have become the most desirable gifts this Christmas. Before Christmas Eve, the Oculus app ranked in the top 10 iOS entertainment apps. On Christmas Day, the app jumped to the top 5 in the entertainment app in 14 countries and the number one app in the United States. This is why we're talking about it today. Parents, friends, do not send your loved one off into this virtual world. I know it's a hip, cool gift, and, well, they were going to buy it for themselves anyway. I got to tell you, I know a lot of people are going to eat crappy food. I'm not going to buy it for them. And so now in the United States, this metaverse, this app, this Oculus app to get you into the metaverse is now the number one selling app, meaning we are losing people as we speak to this metaverse. Zuckerberg has said by the end of the decade, quote, the metaverse will be where all live, work, and play. However, former Twitter CEO Jack Dorsey and Tesla's Elon Musk have voiced their displeasure over the metaverse. Elon Musk wants you to get into Neuralink. I have not studied Neuralink, but the name is enough for me to say, I'm going to take a hard pass on that. I believe this is somehow wiring your brain. This is the transhumanism connecting you to the web. I can't even imagine. The story just finishes up saying what's happening is the beginning of the end as big tech herds people into the metaverse or the Matrix as it offers them a way to escape the harsh reality of living in an overpriced apartment studio crammed into a city full of violent crime, drowning in insurmountable debt and barely making a living wage among high inflation. And I think this is exactly why the metaverse is going to be so popular. They are making life unbearable. These same people that want to see you go into the metaverse are freaking you out about real life and trying to send you in there. It's just like the last story we did with the MarketWatch stuff. They're going to freak you out, cause a ton of anxiety around what was a flu for the vast majority of people, a 99.9% survivable virus, except for those over 75 years old. They're going to freak you out about that. And when you get all jazzed up, hot and bothered, they're going to offer the shot as a salvation. Tell you now, it'll even reduce your anxiety because you'll feel so protected. This is sick stuff. This is the same stuff that they're doing with social media. They're creating these conditions, and most people don't buy into this. Look, this sounds kind of doom and gloomy, but most people are living their lives. They had fun during Christmas. They're going off and they're doing things. They're going to have a good New Year's Eve. They're going to have dinner with their family tonight and laugh and play a board game or watch a movie together. But it is these people that we're going to start losing into this metaverse. I've already talked about huge real estate deals are going on inside the metaverse. People are buying virtual real estate for millions of dollars. And now these virtual real estate developers, it just sounds strange even being said out loud, they will go in and digitally create a mall or an office building, and they are going to start leasing out space. As more people go into the metaverse, this is like building a new town. And according to these stats, with this app becoming the number one app in the United States over Christmas, it means a ton of people got these Oculus things and they are headed in. I don't know how attractive this thing is. I may go in and take a stroll at some point because I do want to witness it. I want to see what it is. I have a feeling I'm going to be just as unimpressed with the metaverse as I am with Facebook. Facebook is also trying new AI that's going along with this. I just want to tell you a couple of the things that they're looking. They're collecting a ton of data on people. I think they've collected 2,200 hours. They took it's the Ego 4D project. Gathered 2,200 hours of first-person video from 700 people going about their daily lives in order to begin training its AI assistants. It says it is it wants to teach AI to listen to this. Remember things so we can ask it what happened when. This will be basically the outsourcing of your memory now. I got to tell you, there's times that sounds kind of attractive. My phone does remind me of many things. I got a reminder during the break. Oh, crap, I'd forgotten about that, but I have a reminder. Predict human actions and try to anticipate our needs. Manipulate hands and objects in order to learn new skills. Keep a video diary of everyday life and recall specific moments. And to learn and understand social interaction. This is the goal of this program of AI with Facebook. Again, I tried to walk myself back from really panic over this stuff because I believe it's all designed to attract right now a ton of investment. There'll be a lot of buzzwords around it, but we've been talking about self-driving cars for years and years now as a foregone conclusion, but it's not happening. I think we're much further away from this, but I will say that the adoption of the metaverse, the fact that the United States all of a sudden is rapidly downloading this app, getting these Oculus glasses and heading in there is not a good sign. This is something I would definitely not want to be an early adopter of and make sure that my children do not get lost in this thing. The worst their life might be. If you think you just want to give them something to pass some time because maybe they're feeling a little down, don't send them into the metaverse because I have a feeling they may never, ever come back out of it. Just a thought from a troglodyte that is resisting all technology. I'll see you tomorrow.
No matter
bye-bye.
How hard you try, you can't stop us now. No matter how hard you try.